just welcome everybody who's come in tonight to celebrate Michael's life with us and share some of their memories. And I especially want to say welcome to Cindy, Michael's wife, and to Frank, Michael's brother. We're so glad you guys were able to be here with us tonight. It really means a lot to all of us to have you share this with us. And hopefully Shelley is not going to break down here and we're going to get through this. And I would like to just start it off, first of all, with a little reading here just to kind of set the tone. This is one, I'm a saver of things. I find things all the time. I don't know, just read them in books, magazines, emails, different things. And this is one I came across several years ago. And I've hung on to it because I just always thought it might come in handy someday. And I think today might be one of those days. And it's called, If Tomorrow Starts Without Me. If tomorrow starts without me, and I'm not there to see, if the sun should rise and find your eyes all filled with tears for me, I wish so much you wouldn't cry the way you did today. While thinking of the many things we didn't get to say. I know how much you love me, as much as I love you. And each time that you think of me, I know you'll miss me too. But when tomorrow starts without me, please try to understand that an angel came and called my name and took me by the hand and said my place was ready in heaven far above, and that I'd have to leave behind all those I dearly love. And as I turned to walk away, a tear fell from my eye. For all my life, I'd always thought I didn't want to die. I had so much to live for, so much left yet to do. It seemed almost impossible that I was leaving you. I thought of all the yesterdays, the good ones and the bad. I thought of all the love we shared and all the fun we had. If I could relive yesterday, just even for a while, I'd say goodbye and kiss you and maybe see you smile. But then I fully realized that this could never be, for emptiness and memories would take the place of me. And when I thought of worldly things I might miss come tomorrow, I thought of you, and when I did, my heart was filled with sorrow. But when I walked through heaven's gates, I felt so much at home, when God looked down and smiled at me from his great golden throne. He said, "This eternity, and all I've promised you, today your life on earth has passed, but here life starts anew. I promise no tomorrow, but today will always last. And since each day's the same way, there's no longing for the past. You have been so faithful, so trusting, and so true. Though there were times you did some things you knew you shouldn't do. But you have been forgiven, and now, so won't you come and take my hand and share my life with me? So when tomorrow starts without me, don't think we're far apart. For every time you think of me, I'm right here in your heart." And I just want you guys to know that I had the honor and pleasure of meeting Michael and Cindy back in May of 2013. I was on my way to Canada with my son for my wedding to James, and Michael and Cindy and James and I had been talking on Skype, and we thought, wouldn't it just be really cool if we could meet? And so Cindy and Michael picked a place. It was at a restaurant at a hotel that was right next to the airport in Detroit. I was going to have a fairly lengthy layover, about 3.5 hours there, and they said that they would come to the restaurant and meet Matt and I and have lunch with us. And it really meant so much to me even then, because by that point, Michael was in a wheelchair and he was on oxygen 24/7. And so it took a lot of effort for both him and Cindy to pack up the oxygen tanks and get the wheelchair and come to the airport and meet with us. And we had just an incredibly fun lunch and a great time visiting with each other. And I'm just so grateful they had that opportunity. And Cindy, thank you so much, because I remember that about halfway through our lunch, I remember Michael's oxygen tank running out of oxygen, and you had to switch it over. And you were just, I don't know, you were just like, I couldn't believe it, Florence Nightingale or something. I mean, you were just doing it just like that. You never thought twice about it or questioned anything, and you just said, hey, this is our life, and you were just so good about it. And so I know I thanked you guys then for coming, but I'm going to thank you again tonight, because it really did mean the world to me. I had visited with Cindy this weekend a couple of times on the phone, and I had asked her for some of the songs that Michael liked the best, or that had special meaning to him, because that was one thing that we used to do sometimes with Michael, particularly back in the days when Michael was over on Fantasy. We would go into a room and we'd play music, especially at Christmas time, and we'd all share our Christmas music. And so I knew that he had an extensive music collection, knew how much he loved music, knew how much we liked to tease each other about the types of music that we both liked, because Michael is predominantly country, and of course, you know me, I'm predominantly, you know, the pop music of today. And so we used to like to give each other a lot of grief about our music choices. But one of the songs that Cindy gave to me that had some really special meaning for Michael, she shared a couple of stories with me about this song, and so I want to share them with you. The name of the song is Jesus Laughing. And Michael had given this song to his sister just not too many days before his passing, and his sister, that was the first time she had ever heard this song, and she thought it was a really cool song, but she had never heard it before anywhere, never on the radio or anything. And last Monday, when she was driving to pick up her children, that song came on the radio. And so a little bit later, when she got the phone call telling her that Michael had passed, she said, I know, because it just kind of hit her, I guess, that when she had heard that on the radio, she just knew that it meant something, and so she wasn't at all surprised when she got that phone call. But Cindy said that Michael and his sister, that is, had been having a conversation about this song, and that his sister had said that Jesus must have a sense of humor, because anybody that would create a skunk had to have a sense of humor. And so I believe Cindy said it was the day after Michael's passing, his sister went out to her garage, and she lives in Chicago, and you don't have a lot of skunks roaming the streets of Chicago. But when she opened her garage door, the first thing she smelled was the scent of skunk, and she just looked up, I guess, and just said, okay, Michael, cut it out, enough's enough. So I thought that was a pretty awesome story. And Michael also had another sister, and she was taking a walk on a beach somewhere, and just to give her some time to think about Michael, and apparently a bird pooped on her head. Now, I didn't know this until Cindy told me that it's good luck for a bird to poop on your head. So apparently, it's not just Jesus that's up there laughing right now. I think Michael's probably doing his fair share too. So, Charlie, if you will, please.
There's a picture on the wall that brings me comfort. My weary eyes rest on it from time to time. It's a sweet, unique depiction of the Savior. The
only one I know quite of its kind. It shows him laughing, our Lord is laughing, his head thrown back with joy upon his loving face. And in that moment there's something happens. I feel at peace just seeing Jesus laughing. To the left and just above the picture, there sits a wooden cross upon a shelf. Sometimes it seems just like the Lord is gazing straight into the face of death itself. And I see him laughing, our Lord is laughing, his head thrown back with joy upon his loving face. And in that moment there's something happens. I feel at peace just seeing Jesus laughing. In my heart I hold a gentle vision. Someday when I reach the other side, he'll hold me in his arms and whisper, welcome. His head thrown back with joy upon his loving face. I lay down my burdens and feel it happen. An everlasting peace with Jesus laughing. I'll join the angels singing and clapping.
Yeah, I thought that was a really awesome song. Again, it was one I'd never heard before, and now I bet Michael is laughing at me as well, because I was the one that gave him so much grief about that darn country music that he was always listening to. And here I'm liking that song, and it's going to definitely be one that's going into my music collection as well. I want to give everyone the opportunity to key up and to say a few words, and so we've got a few more songs that we're going to play as well, but I think right now, since I've been doing all the talking to this point, I'm going to unkey. And if a few of you want to key up right now and share any memories that you have of Michael, and then we'll play another one of Michael's songs, and then we'll get the rest of you guys. So we'll make sure everybody gets the opportunity, but right now I'll go ahead and unkey, and if someone wants to grab the key and share something, that would be great. James, I know you, for one, had a little story that you wanted to share, and I know Cindy remembers this.
I do indeed, actually. I remember this was, well, Michael and Cindy and Shelley and I became good friends over the internet, and I am sorry I couldn't be there to meet with you guys that day, but she was coming. Had she been leaving, I would have been with her, but we didn't work it out that way. But I remember at one point we were talking, Michael and Shelley and Cindy and I, and there might have been a few other people, I'm not sure exactly, but it was in a room like this or on Skype, and then Michael told me, he says, you know, I thought you were an arrogant SOB, and I had no clue. I didn't think that. It really surprised me. I didn't think I was that arrogant, but apparently maybe I came off that way, but that's what he told me. And what I didn't tell him, though, however, is that when I first met him, I also thought he was kind of like a bit of a tyrant with his website. So I guess, and I never told him that, that should have at some point. I think I probably did eventually. But the idea is that, you know, overall, once you know people better, you get to know that they're not exactly who they appear to be. But I still remember that, and that made me laugh. I never thought I was an arrogant person, but maybe I was. Who knows? But just goes to show that reflections sometimes are not exactly who we are. And that's my little story. And again, Cindy and Frank, my condolences to you guys. And like I said, you know, like, he will be missed by everybody.
Well, maybe he can beat someone in golf up there in heaven, because he couldn't do it down here.
That's what I was going to... Well, he beat me. I'm not that good at golf. But yeah, it was a lot of fun with all the sports-related things that he kept going, the golf tournaments, whether he could beat you or not. Lorraine's the expert out of all of us. But, yeah, playing Yahtzee with him and everything. He's just, you know, always trying to keep some kind of events going. Even, I'm not a big football fan, but he even talked me into doing the football pool. And I don't do so great in it, but it's, you know, just another one of those things that he just brought enjoyment to the community.
Oh, I remember many days we'd play golf and he'd get so mad and he'd beat on his chest and threaten to take the game out. Oh my God, it was terrible. I said, calm down, it's just a golf game.
I remember that Michael would always take the time to explain how the football pool worked for me and let me set it up, and he was just so patient with me. And anything I needed help with, he would just act like he had all the time in the world to explain anything to me. No matter how long it took, he acted like he just had all the time in the world, and like there was nothing more important than taking the time to give to explain. And I always remember how he had the special way when he timed of just sounding so happy when he timed. He would always say, time is up, young lady, or time is up. And he just sounded like he was just so happy to be timing and so happy to be doing whatever he was giving his time to, his attention to. And I will miss him so, so very much. He will be very much loved and missed, and he is loved and missed.
Well, going along with Lorraine and Charlie's comments about golf, too, I tell you, one thing that I used to laugh, I don't care how many times I heard it, was his voices that he had on his golf game. And whenever he got a bogey, you got this, dude, you stink.
I do remember those ones, actually.
Another thing that Cindy also shared with me was how much Michael's dad meant to him. And this next song that I'm going to actually ask Charlie to play for us now, it's called Watching You. And it's just a really, really neat song about a son watching his father and doing everything that his daddy does. And again, it's a song I had never heard of, and so when Cindy gave me the name of that, we had to go find it, and I had to listen to it. And again, it's now becoming one of mine. It's going to be in my collection because it's really cute. And you know, I probably owe you an apology, Michael, up there if you're listening, for all the criticism you took over your music from me. But Charlie, if you will, this is called Watching You, and this is a song that just kind of signifies how Michael felt about his father.
Driving through town, just my boy and me, with a Happy Meal in his booster seat, knowing that he couldn't have the toy till his nuggets were gone. A green traffic light turned straight to red. I hit my brakes and mumbled under my breath. His fries went a-flying and his orange drink covered his lap. While in my four-year-old set a four-letter word, it started with S. And I was concerned, so I said, son, now where'd you learn to talk like that? He said, I've been watching you, Dad, ain't that cool? I'm your buckaroo, I wanna be like you and eat all my food and grow as tall as you are. We got cowboy boots and camo pants, yeah, we're just alike, hey, hey. Dad, I wanna do everything you do. So I've been
been watching you. We got back home and I went to the barn. I bowed my head and I prayed real hard. Said, Lord, please help me help my stupid self. The next shot of bedtime later that night, turning on my son Scooby-Doo nightlight. He crawled out of bed and he got down on his knees. He closed his little eyes, folded his little hands, spoke to God like he was talking to a friend. And I said, son, now where'd you learn to pray like that? He said, I've been watching you, Dad, ain't that cool? I'm your buckaroo, I wanna be like you and eat all my food and grow as tall as you are. We like fixing things and holding mama's hand. Yeah, we're just alike, hey, ain't we, Dad? I wanna do everything you do. So I've been watching you. Eyes, I wrapped him in a hook, said my little bear is growing up. And he said, but when I'm big, I'll still know what to do. Cause I've been watching you, Dad, ain't that cool? I'm your buckaroo, I wanna be like you and eat all my food and grow as tall as you are. By then I'll be strong as Superman. We'll be just alike, hey, won't we, Dad? When I can do everything you do, cause I've been watching you. Hey,
I think you guys will agree that was a pretty awesome song too. At this time, I am going to let up on the key one more time and give anybody who hasn't said anything the opportunity if they would like to.
Yeah, I'm going to miss Michael, that's for sure. I like to, you know, me and him used to talk a lot, and we used to swap stories about going up north here in Michigan, because the places he's gone to, I've been there, so we talk about that. And then Michael was, I think once, was the president of the Blind Ski Club, and he was a very good skier, too, I heard. And he used to like wear a cowboy hat when he went skiing.
I met Michael for the first time on a phone system called Graffiti, and Hawkeye mentioning skiing fits right into this, because on the system there, he was called Ski Bum. And I would see Cindy every once in a while in there, too. And Then Immigrant and I co-moderate a group, and Michael's mother ended up joining it, and we didn't see Michael for a long time. And then when we went into another chat site, Shelley was doing a Family Feud game, and Michael was there. So it was really neat because we knew him a little bit on the chat on the phone system, but we got to know him a lot better playing games with him, and he was real fun to play with, and we really enjoyed doing that, and he created some really good chains, and he was able to solve them. And I remember probably one of the last times he was in the game, he was amazing. He was solving all these chains that nobody could figure out, and he almost single-handedly won that game.
Well, I seem to be the one here full of stories tonight, but I want to tell you another one about Michael and I, something that we used to go round and round about. It was the funniest darn thing, and I know Cindy, she was there cheering in the background, cheering for me, that is, not Michael, when Michael and I would get into these discussions. But Michael had this thing about Hallmark created holidays, and it used to just drive him crazy that, you know, companies like Hallmark, for instance, was profiting off of creating a day where, you know, guys were basically made to feel guilty if they didn't, you know, send their wives cards, flowers, buy them presents, candy, that sort of thing. And of course, I was always calling him a cheapskate. and he was always going, "No, I'm not a cheapskate. I just think that you should buy a gift for somebody just some other random day of the year, just because you love them and you want to tell them you love them, and just because they're not expecting it." He says, "I'm not going to buy her anything if she's expecting it," he said. And so he used to take a lot of grief from me over that. And deep down inside, I know he's right, because the presents that always mean the most to me, honestly, are the ones that I'm not expecting. They definitely mean the most. But hey, it was something for Michael and I to argue about anyway.
Oh, and Michael told me a story that he took pride in that he got kicked off four.
She's woken up and had left the room.
He got kicked off four different sites. I go, "Four different sites? Which one?" I go, "I know four of the people." He goes, "Yeah, four of the people." And then he said audio tips. I go, "What? Yeah, the only reason you got kicked off there is because you used Ski Bum. You couldn't use, you didn't use Michael." And then he got kicked off Fantasy. Oh, I was there the night he got kicked off of Blank Cafe. So, yeah, that's four.
That was another thing that, you know, Michael and James and I had in common, because we haven't exactly been kicked off the sites, but we've left a few sites too. So, you know, that was something we could always sit and laugh about with him too, Hawkeye.
Oh, no, we got banned off away.
Well, you know, Michael was his own person, and he was who he was, and take it or leave it, that's it. But I would be in a game, and he would come in, and especially if it was trivia or something like that, "Oh, let Michael goes on our team." "No, he goes on our team." We'd almost fight over him, because he would just help you win. He was an awesome guy, and he'll be missed.
That's kind of how we felt about him in Sounds of Music. We always wanted Michael / Cindy on our side, because we knew that Michael would always tell us that it was really Cindy that was the brains behind that duo when it came to the music. But we always knew that if it was a song from the late 60s through the 70s and maybe the very early 80s, that Michael and Cindy were going to know it. So we kind of always wanted him on our team too.
I remember Michael most for helping me with technical issues, and believe me, I had many. And I have to say, he was so patient with me. I'm not very patient with the computer, but he said, you'll get it, just keep trying. And he walked me through it, and I got it, and there were times I forgot, and I just Skype him, and again, he would just say, "Do it like this," and he was great in that way, and I will definitely miss him.
Yeah, Michael was a total rebel, man, I swear, he was. You know, I'm going to miss, you know, I used to write chain, you know, with him and me, you know, me and him do chain reaction puzzles. And then sometimes when I was a clue giver, I'd get stuck on a word, I would call up Michael, you know, and go, "Hey, what do you think of this? What do you think of that?" So, yeah, he was good at it. He didn't like playing password, but he was good about helping me with that.
I think Michael was good about helping anyone with anything they had. It didn't matter if it was computer related, something to do with the games, football questions, anything. He was just always there for everyone.
Yeah, Michael will be missed. I think I remember him. I forgot what was.
And guys, I think maybe this is a good time to go ahead and play another one of Michael's favorite songs. This one is called "I Saw God Today" by George Strait. Now, this one I actually had heard once or twice. This one, I don't really have a story that goes along with it. It's just a song that Cindy said he really, really liked. So, Charlie, please.
Just walked down the street to the coffee shop. Had to take a break. I'd been by her side for 18 hours straight. Saw a flower growing in the middle of the sidewalk, pushing up through the concrete like it was planted right there for me to see. The flashing lights, the honking horns all seemed to fade away. In the shadow of that hospital at 508, I saw God today. I've been to church, I've read the book, I know he's here, but I don't look near. here as often as I should. Yeah, I know I should. His fingerprints are everywhere. I just slow down to stop and stare. Open my eyes and man, I swear, I saw God today. Saw a couple walking by, they were holding hands. Man, she had that glow. Yeah, I couldn't help but notice she was starting to show. Stood there for a minute, taking in the sky. Lost in that sunset. A splash of amber melted in the shades of red. Church, I've read the book. I know he's here, but I don't look near as often as I should. Yeah, I know I should. His fingerprints are everywhere. I just slow down to stop and stare. Open my eyes and man, I swear, I saw God today. Got my face pressed up against the nursery glass. She's sleeping like a rock. My name on her wrist, wearing tiny pink socks. She's got my nose, she's got her mama's eyes. My brand new baby girl, she's a miracle. I saw God today.
Beautiful song that Michael likes. Do we have anyone else who hasn't had the opportunity yet to key up and say anything that they're wanting to say about Michael?
Hello, Shelley. It's David. I wish I had known him better. I have heard such nice things, almost eulogy quality things, to show how nice he was, how helpful he was in the Lord. With me and technology, I could have used that, a clone of him. Skype and I don't like each other. Anyway, I have been finding the music and the commentary very interesting, and I certainly wanted to extend my condolences to his friends and family as well.
I have known Michael for quite a few years, but the last few times I've been in a room with him, it was just him and I, and I had special time with him, and I really appreciated it. We, of course, got around to talking about God, and of course I like that subject, and he said, I'm not afraid of dying, it's the thought of giving in. And you know what, that's the way I feel too. So Michael, hope you're doing well.
You know, I'm kind of echoing what David said a second ago. I feel like I allowed myself to be cheated by not getting to know Michael better, because I'm reflecting on all the love that I'm hearing right now from other people in the room, and it's just a real tribute to Michael to hear the kinds of things that people have said about him. And Shelley, I don't know how hard it was for you to read that opening piece that you did, but it was really difficult to hear, because it just said what needed to be said. So I want to thank you for that, Shelley, the opening, as well as all the tributes that have come in music and people's words. I'm going to try to not let myself get cheated by missing the chance to know other people here. So, Michael, I hope you're doing well, buddy. You are in a better place, like your brother said before, and we will be joining you someday, and I hope there are no computers that need fixing where you are. I think God probably has a better operating system than any of us. So, I'm sorry I didn't get to know you better, but your friends and family are giving great testimony to you right now, and you are just a special kind of guy. Anyway, I'm gonna let go of the key. Shelley, it was almost you opened this piece really, really well, Shelley. Thank you for it, for that.
Well, thank you for the comment. I don't want to leave anybody out here, so I've got one more thing that I want to mention here, but I'm going to let up one more time, and if there's any other people who want to say anything, this will be your opportunity before we have our closing. Well, the thing that I wanted to mention was, and this kind of goes back again a little bit to me telling you how Michael and I used to like to spar with one another over the Hallmark-created holidays and events and gifts and things. And Cindy shared one other thing with me that really touched me a lot and touched James too. And that was that back on May 14th, they celebrated their 27th wedding anniversary. And Michael knew that he wasn't going to be around for the really momentous ones, you know, like the 40th or the 50th. And so he planned ahead for their 27th wedding anniversary. And I'm sorry, because this is where it's getting me, guys. I'm really sorry. But Cindy said that they renewed their vows on that day with family and friends. And I just thought that was so touching and just so amazing that Michael fought to do that for Cindy and for himself and for their family. And I'm so sorry, Cindy, because you said you wouldn't be able to do this, and here I'm not either. But it really, really struck something in me. And I told James there was this one song. And I thought that it would just, I hope that it means as much to you, Cindy, as what it does to me. It's seriously one of my favorite songs. And I think that it really speaks to the love that Michael had for you. And so I'm going to ask Charlie to play that now. And again, you guys, I'm really sorry for this, but it just meant so much to me when Cindy shared that story. So, guys, this is my little dedication from James and I to you, Cindy, and to you, Michael. And I hope that it will mean as much to you, but I think the words absolutely say everything.
And you don't owe us any apologies.
True. very far apart we are. It helps to think we might be wishing on the same bright star.
And when the night wind starts to sing a lonesome lullaby, it helps to think we're sleeping underneath the same big sky.
Shelley, all your feelings came from your heart. That's where the words come from. But you know what? All your true feelings and your words come from your soul, and you did great. And those are true feelings, right from your soul to him. He's up there. It's all good.
Thanks, guys. And like I said, I hope that song will mean as much to you, Cindy, when you can listen to it 5-10 years from now and know that Michael is still there watching and looking over you. And I want to thank everybody for coming in and for sharing this night with us and with Cindy and with Frank and especially with Michael. Michael, rest in peace, friend. You will be so missed.
Thank you, Shelley, and everybody. And this is not a goodbye for Michael. This is I will see you later. I will see you later in the big sky at an Irish pub up there, and we'll have a beer together. Catch you later.
Thank you, everybody, for coming. And remember, Hawkeye's right. We'll see you soon, Michael.
Thanks a lot, Shelley. It gave me closure, and it's so much a Michael. See? Thanks.
That song was awesome. That's one of my favorite songs, too. And I think Michael's up there watching us, and he'll be watching us when we play the games, too. I know he will. I believe that.
Rest in peace, Michael. And you're in my thoughts and prayers.
Again, thank you everybody for coming. Tim and Immigrant, you can stop the recording now. Thank you so much for recording this.
Once again, thank you, Shelley, for a tribute to a good person, and for getting everybody together to remember him. God bless you, Shelley, James, and Michael. And Cindy and Frank. And if I keep on going any longer, I'll miss somebody. God bless you all.
Shelley, you did an awesome job putting this together. Thank you for putting everything together and talking to Cindy, and I'm so glad I was able to be here for it.
Thank you, James, Shelley, everybody else, for your wonderful thoughts. Michael will be missed. And thank you all for coming.
Cindy, thank you so much for coming in, and thank you so much for sharing all those stories with us.
Yeah, definitely, Cindy.
And thank you to you as well, Frank, for coming in.
Thank you for putting this on, Shelley. I only knew him for 62 years, so I think we might have had a few stories we can talk about, and a lot of them that are uncensored. But on the 14th of May, I can share the one. While they were exchanging their vows for the blessing, I said, Mike, don't stand up. Whatever you do, don't stand up. Mike had a pair of pants on with a 40-inch waist, and he's nowhere near a 40-inch waist, and you knew where those pants were going to end up. With that, thanks a lot, Shelley. Thanks, everybody.
Oh, my gosh. I can almost picture that. I know when I met Colin that day at the airport, he actually did stand up for me. Just for a moment, he says, well, I'm going to stand up and at least give you a hug on my 2 feet. And he did that. And he had always, you know, told me how tall he was and what he used to weigh. And he was so skinny. I hugged him and I thought, oh boy. When you were telling your story, I thought, I could see that if those were used to wear. And Michael, I remember from that day, I could see where they would have fallen down.
Yeah, it was funny, Frank.
Charlie and Tim and Immigrant, I forgot to thank all you guys as well. I'm sorry about that, but I really appreciate all your assistance tonight with recording and playing the music and everything. So thanks, guys.